We head to the US now, where convicted criminals are reportedly paying tens of thousands of dollars to President Donald Trump's associates to lobby him for a pardon. Mr. Trump is preparing an expansive list of more than 100 pardons and commutations for release tomorrow, the penultimate day of his presidency. Meanwhile, the FBI is vetting all 25,000 National Guard troops coming to Washington, D.C. for Joe Biden's inauguration into the office, fearing an insider attack. Our correspondent in Washington is Simon Marks. Good morning to you, Simon.
Morning, Nita.
These final presidential acts, we're down to the last days, and obviously Donald Trump is very busy with these pardons. Do we know who's in line for one of these?
Well, he's sifting through, along with his team remaining at the White House for these last 2 days of his presidency, 14,000 separate applications for pardons, and we're told to expect a list that will come from the White House of around 100 names. I mean, I think that the one thing we're all going to be looking at as soon as the list comes out are the T's. Are there any Trumps in there? Because one of the big questions is, might the president try preemptively to pardon members of his own family, because we know several of them are in the crosshairs of investigators as this administration wraps up, partly due to the investigation that's underway in New York into the Trump organization's business affairs, but also now because people like Donald Trump Jr. are in the crosshairs of investigators here in Washington, D.C. for the speech that he made at the Save America rally 12 days ago, encouraging Donald Trump's violent supporters to head up to Capitol Hill and begin the march that would lead to the insurrection and invasion at the building. We are told that Donald Trump will not preemptively attempt to pardon himself. That is something that no president has ever previously tried to do. Whether that power exists or not, therefore, has never been tested in the courts. But we know that a number of lawyers connected to Donald Trump have been receiving submissions from corrupt business people, a whole variety of people caught up in drugs laws that find themselves jailed, and others. So we're waiting to see who makes the final cut. Might Julian Assange find himself on the list now that we know that he's not going to be extradited to the United States from the UK? Is there any move going to be made in the direction of former security contractor Edward Snowden, who, of course, is living in self-imposed exile in Russia? All of those questions mounting as we wait for that list to emerge from the White House.
And what's the process here? Is it a quick call to Mr. Trump and his staff to try and get on the list?
Well, it's at this point, if you haven't made the call, I think it's almost certainly too late. And I think it's important to underscore, Nita, there's nothing new about presidents issuing pardons. And indeed, some past presidents have commuted more sentences and pardoned more people than Donald Trump is reportedly preparing to do. This is a process that many people will have started months ago, aware that President Trump has engaged in criminal justice reform over the last 4 years, and that on occasion celebrities, including Kim Kardashian, have persuaded him to commute the sentences of people whose causes she was espousing. But I think it's also important to underscore that Donald Trump has set a new, very grim record here over the last couple of weeks, as he has dispatched 11 members of federal death row in what death row opponents are calling a race to try and conduct executions on federal death row, knowing, as the Trump administration did, that Joe Biden was not in favor of continuing to carry out executions on the death row that is maintained by the U.S. federal government. So as much as Donald Trump might be in the mood to pardon some associates of his, possibly defendants who have managed to commission support from the right lawyers, he hasn't been entirely merciful over the course of the final month of his presidency.
No, and of course this is all happening against that massive security operation backdrop with the thousands of troops coming into the Capitol. Are there any specific threats at this stage?
Well, it's absolutely extraordinary. I mean, you can't overestimate or overstress the sense of nervousness here. Just a few hours ago, as a rehearsal was underway on Capitol Hill for the inauguration, there was an explosion of a propane canister at a nearby homeless encampment, but no one knew that's what it was at the time. And so in an enormous rush, everything was locked down on Capitol Hill. The rehearsal was suddenly ended. Then the fire department found out what it was and sort of called the all clear. But that underscores a sense of nervousness boosted by that announcement last night that 21,500 National Guard troops are now going to go through another round of security vetting, because the Army Secretary says the Pentagon wants to be sure that the National Guard troops who have been deployed in Washington to protect the inauguration don't in any measure pose a threat to the inauguration, as it's become apparent, as alleged perpetrators of the insurrection on Capitol Hill have been arrested, that some of them have worked within the law enforcement communities and security services. So this extraordinary moment when 20,000 plus National Guard troops are on the streets of Washington, and they themselves are now being questioned, some of them, ahead of the inauguration to make sure they're not a threat to it, on a Capitol Hill where there are now metal detectors at the entrance to the floor of the House of Representatives, because some elected members of the House of Representatives say they are scared that other elected members of the House of Representatives might carry weapons into the chamber and use them. It is an extraordinary reflection of where this country finds itself 4 years on from Donald Trump's arrival at the White House.
Extraordinary indeed. Thank you so much for your time. That's Simon Marks, our correspondent in Washington.